Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Areco 2 podcast. I'm so proud that we're doing this. So 5 days ago, a group of us, several African women joined together by a cooperative called the AREC, decided to come together to learn podcasting. And this is day 5 and we are doing this evening. What we are doing and testing right now is to test a virtual roundtable recording to discuss our businesses. And I have with me on the line Moji of Pod Chocolate, pardon me. And she will be talking about chocolate in Africa and how our business has been. Hopefully we have other people join us and then we'll take the introductions as they come in. So right now I will yield the microphone to Moji to tell us about Pod Chocolates and of course chocolates in Africa.
Okay, thank you very much, Semsi. Hello, everyone. My name is Moji Aina. I'm the CEO of Pod Chocolates Nigeria. I've been working with chocolate in Nigeria since 2008. And I think I can say, like, I've experienced it all, the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as they say. If we think about it, 70% of the world's cocoa comes from only 4 West African countries. Yet our cocoa beans are exported and then sold back to us in various forms like chocolates or some of the body lotion we use. You know, they sell them back to us at premium prices. But I want to change that narrative because I think that Africa has so much potential in the cocoa field or sphere, and I think there's so much we can do. So my aim is enlighten, educate, and equip those that are interested in the cocoa world of Africa.
Thank you, Moji. I just want to ask a question, and I apologize for intruding. I've always wondered around cocoa production in Africa. Did we know how to make chocolates before we started exporting, or we realized that there was a value chain to chocolate after we started exporting out the Western world? I'm curious.
Chocolate actually started with the Mayans in Mexico. So they were the ones that actually started chocolate in a very different form to what it is now, but they actually started it. And when the cocoa came, those that brought cocoa to Africa, they actually knew the value, but we didn't really know.
Right. And I like that point. So beyond cocoa and chocolates, getting conversation, but I thought you'd finished. I apologize for that. Beyond chocolates and cocoa, what other thing can we derive from the cocoa butter? Hi, Etson Foods. Welcome, Morel. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Right. Well, we have. So I was just asking Moji about our business, and she just told us where chocolate started from, and she mentioned that it was Mexico. Considering that the real from Africa, my question was around, did we even know how to make chocolates before we started exporting out? So I would, want Moji to speak to that your thoughts around your business, and then tell us about it.
Okay.
So the cocoa that was brought to Africa was mainly for production, for export. Because cocoa grows in this region, our temperature was adequate for the growth of cocoa. So it was brought mainly to be grown here and then exported. Those that brought it here never had any plans to make chocolate here.
Right.
Or solely for the production. So that's what it was. There's so many products that can be derived from the cocoa. The cocoa butter, that's and it's used in the big beauty industry, the cosmetic industry. Do you know that the the shell of the cocoa pod is used, part of it is used to make adire.
Oh, really?
The dye.
You mean the cloth fabric?
The dye that you get. No, yes. So the part that's discarded, where you have to remove the beans from, part of it is used for adire. They also use it for black soap.
Yeah, I'm aware of black soap.
Yes, they use it for black soap as well. And then the cocoa itself, there's so many things. There are companies that make juices from the cocoa pulp.
Right.
Apart from the chocolate you can make a cocoa tea.
Mm. Would you like,
proper tea?
I mean, I don't think we can exhaust the soap.
No, we can't.
The vanishing of chocolate in one discussion. So I just want to give Amorel time to talk to us about her business and, of course, everything that she's been doing about it. Amorel, have a go. All right, I think I'll give her time to come back to us and talk to you. And I'm going to pick station from where you talk about the fact that cocoa butter and the cocoa and its derivative is used in the skincare industry. So for me that work in the skincare industry, I know that for me has been the fact that most of the raw material, 10% of it, is sourced from Africa. And like you all rightly said, it then get exported and the finished products are imported back to us and then we have to pay so much for it. Also that concept that is driving me to do Simpson skincare. The second thought is around, there is a concept of nature and nurture, like the born and bred, just everything around it, the feeding, your food, your plants and weather condition, good way of connecting with your body and soul and spirit and making you. That's why Simsy has evolved to be the brand that it is right now, around using raw materials sourced from and making Africa's skin inclined product. So ditching the this is exported, it's for the fair skin, and focusing on our skin type and just enjoying the natural flow of what nature and Mother Earth has had for us as a people or a continent. And I think that's the exciting part for the community that we are trying to build together as our. So I'm going to put this back over to you and let's talk more about chocolate. Chocolate is an exciting talk about from the various value chain and what you really
Yes, so as you rightfully said, that's really what it is. We're trying to make sure that that value chain is kept within the African continent. And if anything is exported at all, it's the finished products that have value that we can also charge premium prices for. When we export our cocoa beans, the processing that is done is something that I do it every day on a regular. It can so easily be done here in Africa.
Yeah.
They take it. So it's almost like taking a cocoa, buying cocoa beans for like 100 naira.
Right.
And selling chocolate back to us at like 1,500. Oh, I should probably say this in dollars. Mm-hmm. So people understand. So buying beans for like $1. And then selling it back to you for like $15.
Well, would it make a difference? Let me come in. Would it make a difference to understand the need for maybe electricity, power, machineries that we truly need and we do not have?
Yes. Yes. So infrastructure is definitely the biggest challenge most African countries have. And infrastructure, not just the electricity, even things as simple as access to roads, networks, warehouse facilities for storage, simple things or things that maybe one may not necessarily think about, logistics, those are the main is that hindering the industry. And I think that once those things are in place, there's a huge opportunity. The reason why people don't build factories, big factories in all these, in our African countries, is mainly because of infrastructural challenges.
Mm. Not then translates back to the fact that it would be more expensive to produce those products here, and that be the reason why the people that source these raw materials just take it abroad, produce it, and then bring it back.
I think that those challenges can be overcome. Right. You said something in about locally consumed and consuming things within our locality. Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you a real example. Chocolate or cocoa, consuming cocoa in a different form doesn't have to be expensive.
Right.
And what I mean by that, when I went to, I remember I went to a farm in Mexico, and there's a cocoa drink that they drink, they take almost every time. And what do? They get some cocoa beans.
Right.
They do it frying pan, almost like you roast peanuts, just on the stovetop. They roast it there. They get a mortar. Almost every home, even in the local community, has a mortar and a pestle, and they grind it.
So it's like a local food for them. It's not anything out of place.
It's a local food for them. You know, so it doesn't have to be in our chocolate form.
Right.
Or in some kind of exorbitant form that we create. The cocoa has so much health benefits as well, that if, and I heard it's very good for men, extremely good. So if we are taking these things locally, and it has a lot of antioxidants as well.
That's true.
So taking it in your local way, still adding value to it within the country. So it doesn't necessarily have to be converted to chocolate or converted to cocoa butter, but still just encouraging the consumption and the use of it.
Locally grown products.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me take you back to pot chocolate and the fact that there are no words to it. Have you thought about the big factor on all of us around sugar intake, obesity, and most times these things are attributed to chocolate or consumption of too much of it. How are you planning for that in your business?
So I think chocolate has been given a very bad name because most commercial companies add a lot of sugar to it. So the sugar level is really high. Chocolate doesn't need that much sugar, to be honest. And there's so many sugar alternatives. Nigeria, for example, grows a lot of dates. Dates are a healthier sugar alternative. We have a lot of coconut. I mean, I don't know anyone converting coconuts to coconut sugar at the moment. But, you know, maybe that's another industry that can be explored. Another section that can be explored. Those are healthy sugars that can be used to sweeten the chocolates that are being consumed. So to me, chocolate is not unhealthy. It's what type of chocolate are you consuming?
And based on what you said, it's really how is the chocolate manufactured in itself? What's in finished products? And the,
exactly
what you're going to be doing.
What are the additives that have been added? Like when we make our chocolate, we don't add any additives to it. You're getting pure cocoa. So if you get a chocolate bar that is 70%, you're getting 70% cocoa and 30% sugar. That's all. There's nothing else added to that. A lot of companies add a lot of additives, add emulsifiers, add preservatives. But we don't do any of that. So the question goes back to what is in the chocolate that you're consuming?
Moji, thank you very much. I want to listen. This is going to be a mine for a lot of knowledge for people, especially those of us that do not even know a lot of the confectionery industry. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. So I'm going to bring this.
Thank you for having No, I said thank you for having me.
Alrighty, so I'm going to bring it to a close. Unfortunately, we couldn't get all the other participants to join us, but we still had a good time from Mojia. Appreciate it. Appreciate your thoughts, and wish you all the best. Righty. So this is our special.
Thank you very much.
Like I said, on 5 days to podcast, it's been a splendid experience. We've had 8 people get on the podcasting journey and set up their account, and we are testing ourselves out. So, cheers to the.
Bye.
Bye.